So have you been doing interviews all day, I guess, hey?
Yeah, it's a pretty long day, but
Yeah.
you're the last actually, but
I'm the last.
but I'm still fresh, so don't worry.
Okay, good, good. You know, I don't want to bore you. I imagine it could get a little exhausting having to ask the same thing over and over
If
again.
you come up with great questions, then that's even better.
Right, okay. Well, I have one major question for you. And that is with the music that Epica makes, it's so big and cinematic. I can't even wrap my head around how you could even settle on like a theme, let alone get, you know, these massive arrangements together. So I'm just curious about like, because how long the band's been together for 20 years now? Is that right?
Almost 20 years, yes.
Almost 20 years. Yeah. So how have you learned to compose this kind of music, and how has that changed over the years? Because it's, yeah, I can't even fathom it, you know?
It's an interesting question, and there's not really one answer for it because sometimes we start like with a guitar riff, sometimes with a keyboard line, sometimes with a vocal line, sometimes even with a small piece of lyric, and then it's a matter of building it. So usually, personally, I prefer to start with a guitar riff, building some drums underneath, and then working on a key arrangement on top of it. And then as the last, adding vocal lines. And when you add the vocal lines, you go back and start also changing some details in the arrangements again, sometimes because the vocal lines make again the music a little bit different.
Yeah.
So it's like a very long process. And when it's before it's ended, then it's also multi-layered, and it goes also to all the other members, and everybody gives their opinion, and they change some things, they add some things. So it's sometimes with some songs is a process of like 3 months or 4 months before it's finished.
Yeah, it sounds like it takes a lot of discipline, you know.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it does. But yeah, I personally I'm not so much that kind of a detail guy. So there's some other guys who really love to work on the final details. I'm more the guy who likes the rough yeah, how you say that the like when you have a painting, I like to do the rough thing, and then the others make like the final details inside of it.
Yeah, you're the drafter or whatever,
Yeah,
right?
exactly.
Yeah. Cool. And I'm just wondering, 'cause you the band is very like specific themes that you all seem drawn to, with the sort of gothic kind of vibes and the big cinematic sort of songscapes, if you will. So what is it that this is a classic question, but where does the influence come from, and has it resonated over the years?
Yeah, I think when I go back to my childhood, I started listening to bands like Megadeth. Megadeth was actually, rest in peace, my first album I ever bought. So it's a very important one for me. It pulled me into metal music. And with that album, I also started thinking like, because I also listened to classical music and film music, and I started thinking like, how would it be to combine these things? And then also some bands started actually doing that. Like Orphanage, that was a band from Netherlands who in 1995 already started doing that, and I really got inspired by their sound. So I thought, oh, they are doing it, so it is possible actually to combine classical music and metal music. So I thought I want to do that too. And so my first band after Forever, we started developing that style as well. And then also bands like With Temptation came up, The Gathering. And that was like a scene of bands starting doing that. And yeah, when I founded Epica, we continued doing making this kind of music. So that's basically how it developed. And I always fell in love, was in love with this style of music, and this love never faded away.
It seems like a fun like world to write in.
Yeah.
It feels like you could just keep build. I mean, and it's epic. It's in the name, right? You could just
Yeah.
keep building and building and building. Because when I was listening to your records, I was like, "There's even more instruments coming in here." You know, like
There's a lot going on,
there's a
and
lot
it's
going on.
when you listen to an album and you listen it for the 10th time, you still hear new things, and that's personally what I really like, that people, for them it's a journey, an adventure, and I also like sometimes to listen to some albums when you listen to it once and then you have enough of it. But I prefer always the albums when you listen, every time that you listen again, you hear new things. And that's what we do with Epic as well.
Yeah, I think it's wonderful and incredibly ambitious as well. Cool. So that reminded me of a question. You guys worked with the Prague Philharmonic? Is that right?
Yes.
How did that happen? Because that's quite a feat.
Yeah, the reason for that was that our producer Joost, he worked already with it with this orchestra when he was in After Forever, when I was already out of After Forever. And also with my other band, Mayan, we worked once with that orchestra for our album, Jana, as kind of a test how it would be. And that worked really well. And then with Epica, we decided to go with this orchestra as well. And with Mayan, we had a small budget, so we only worked like half a day with this orchestra. But with Epica, we had 3 full days recording with them. And so kind of Mayan was a test for it. If it would work well, we would do it with Epic as well. And it did. So it's always great to try some stuff with Mayan. And then when it works, we can do it with Epica for real.
Yeah. Because, yeah, that's super cool. I think that's a very, very cool thing that y'all accomplished. So I'm curious also about the Attack on Titan record. I'm sure that people have asked you about that quite a bit. How did that come about? Because it's a bit of a thematic departure from the previous record.
Yeah, that's the typical kind of challenge thing that came on our way. And we love to take up challenges. So our Japanese record company, they came up with this idea. They said, we have a budget for a band to work on some Attack on Titan songs and to have to make metal versions of these tracks. Yeah. And they're already pretty pretty heavy by them on their own.
Yeah,
so it's... So we just had to kind of epicanize them.
Yeah.
And also the lyrics, too, because they are all in Japanese. So
yeah, doesn't translate directly into the same song.
Yeah, for we translated them, but then also gave it a bit an own approach and also epica touch with lyric-wise. But it was a lot of fun to work on this. And it pulls you out of your comfort zone. So you have to do something that you never did before. And that's what we really love doing. Then you refresh yourself. And you avoid it. You start repeating yourself.
Yeah. So I asked the internet as well if they had any questions for you, and I have some here. So I'm going to ask you what the internet. There is a couple people curious about the Dutch music scene, and if there's any upcoming artists in that world that.
Yes, there is actually. There's, for example, Phantom Elite is a really cool band. And it's the band is founded by a friend of mine I was in After Forever with, Salner Gommans. And he founded the band, but he's not playing in the band himself. But it's a really cool band. I checked out their last album, and it's really great. So for me, that when they ask about a new band from the Netherlands, I would say that one.
Okay. What was the band called? Phantom?
Phantom Elite.
Phantom Elite. Okay, cool.
Yes.
There's a lot of questions that I gathered about what you would do if you weren't a professional musician.
Oh, there's many things that I could have been doing. For example, I studied psychology.
I'm a psychologist,
so I could have been working in that field. But I also love sports, so I could have also, if I would have been good enough, for example, become a cyclist.
Yeah.
Even though that is a tough world, because there's a lot of competition, so I don't know if I would have made it to the highest level. I have really no idea. Other things that I like is I like to build things, being creative, so like an architect, mm-hmm. but then also design it myself and also building it myself. So I really love to be creative. So whatever in life, everything that includes creativity, I find myself happy. So there's many things that I like and many things that I could have been doing in my life.
How has your approach to creativity do you have any like specific philosophies that you've learned as somebody who's been able to be professionally creative for as long as you have?
Yeah, because sometimes people ask, where does inspiration come from? And that's a very good question for any artist, like a painter, a writer, or a musician. Where does inspiration come from? Because you cannot grasp it. It's actually like surfing on a wave. That's how I describe it usually. It's like going with the flow. You feel good and you let the inspiration flow. It's like a universal energy going through you and expresses itself in the art that you're making. And that's a beautiful thing. The only thing you have to do is letting it flow. And at a certain point, you learn how to let it flow. So I'm never without inspiration. Whenever I love doing something, the inspiration comes up automatically. So I sometimes hear about artists who are falling in this black hole, like without inspiration. And I'm luckily never in that position, because I always find a way to make that inspiration flow whenever I want it to flow.
Riding the wave, yeah. I've always thought too, like, I think the key to staying creative is if you find yourself in a slump or in writer's block or whatever, to not get frustrated with yourself and understand that it'll just come back, rather than forcing yourself to make something when you don't want to. And I think that's actually a really good way to open yourself to be inspired. But and I always think too, and maybe you probably have some thoughts on this. If you feel your chosen creative medium, if you know what I mean, if you feel like it's not working for you, to just switch, just try a new one.
Yes, exactly.
If that's something you've ever done, moving from music to another medium.
Yeah. Because in the past, sometimes I also was forcing myself when I didn't feel to write music, but then I thought I have to write music, and then I was forcing myself. Never worked, because then always that music was I was writing when I was forcing myself sucked.
Yeah.
And then the next day I was listening to it sucked, and I threw it away. And so when there's a day that you don't feel like making music, then I do something else. There's always something that I feel like doing, and then I just do what I feel like doing. And that's what I learned over all those years. Just do what makes you happy, and that's with everything in life. And that's also my life philosophy since I was a kid. I always did what makes me happy. So I, for example, when I had to choose what I wanted to study, I went with a study, psychology, that really interests me and fascinates me, instead of have a secure job. Because some people said you have to study economics because there's for sure a job. But I hate economics. I don't want it. So I always followed my intuition, and that's the right thing to do. Because I know so many people, they study something because their father told them to do so, and they are so unhappy. And that just doesn't work. And maybe they have a lot of money, but when you are unhappy, then all this money is worth nothing.
Yeah, I think that's the power of allowing your sort of creative impulses to flow, is you can quite literally push away unhappiness.
Yes, you know? It does. Yes, definitely. Because when I'm making music, my stress goes away. But then I'm in a flow, and my stress literally disappears. So it's like a kind of a therapy. Even.
And it's amazing to find that in your work. And
yes.
I think most people can. It just takes some sort of cognitive rewiring, you know?
Yeah, because many people, they have a job that they don't actually like. So they have, after their work, they have to find ways to get rid of the stress. And when your work is actually your hobby, then you have fun in your work. And that's the best way. So I always say to people, if you don't like a job, just quit it. Of course, it's easier said than done. Mm-hmm. Because they can name you 100 reasons why they cannot quit, but the people who actually did quit, they usually are the ones that become happy afterwards.
Yeah, just patience, I guess. Patience and just finding something where you can be present. That's something I've been thinking about a lot. Is
yeah,
trying to
get yeah, and patience. It's a good word that you're making there. Because patience, yeah, we were also not successful with Epica from day one on it. It took a lot of time and a lot of patience. If we would have to have given up after 3 years, we would have never been where we are now. But yeah, it's not easy to follow your dreams, but eventually that's what does make you happy.
Yeah. Did you when you guys started Epica, did you know how big the audience for that kind of music was? Because when I went to your Spotify, I was shocked. I had no idea that there was.
Oh yeah, we had also no idea that
that.
Yeah.
Like symphonic metal, if that's like a, you know, it's kind of a good catch-all term, I guess. But
yeah. When we started making this music, I had no idea what the potential would be. Already when I started making this kind of music with After Forever, we just did it because we loved it, and that appeared to be the right approach. But I never thought about what kind of potential it had, because I truly believe if you do something with your whole heart, then there is an audience for it. And I also actually, even if the audience would be half, I would still be happy, because we can travel the world. Of course, not at this point.
Yeah.
Due to some,
we'll get back some, to it. Some it'll virus. Come. Yeah,
it'll come back. But yeah, we could do whatever we wanted. All our dreams came true, and that's because we followed our true dreams. And there's sometimes I talk to bands, they make actual music that they don't like, and I think like, why? I really don't get it. I really don't get it.
Yeah. I guess, yeah, I don't know why you would do that, honestly. I mean, I guess if it pays the bills, but then it's a creative job. So it's, you know,
maybe yeah. But then after a while, they start disliking playing their own music live. And if you make music that you don't really like, then you start disliking it a lot after a while. Of course, you can do that for several years, but not for really longer than 10 years, I think, because then it just doesn't work.
Yeah. And that brings up something I've asked most artists I've talked to so far. And it's just the consciousness of audience in the creative process. And you spoke on that a little bit, but I'm curious if you have more thoughts on that, how I suppose you inevitably develop a relationship with the audience.
Yeah.
While you're creating, especially after 2, 3, 4, 5 records. And how do you process that without sort of getting lost in egotistical obsession with immediate feedback and such?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I try to keep the balance with that. So I read reactions about what people think, but if there are some people that when they don't like something, then and they have a good reason for that, I keep it in the back of my mind. But there's also people that just try out there to try to hurt you, and I learned over the years to just put that aside, and that it doesn't touch me anymore. So I keep the balance with that. So I'm curious what people think, and I'm happy when people are loving it, but I'm also, it doesn't touch me if people hate it, for example. So I'm not affected by it too much. And that's, I think, the best way to keep on going, because first of all, the music has also to make us happy ourselves. So when we are happy with it, I found out that usually the vast majority of the fans is going to be happy as well.
Happy too, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's the only way to do it. I think that's really the only way to do it, especially over time.
Yeah, I think so. Because if you listen to what certain people say and you go in a certain direction just because away from what you truly want to do.
Yeah. I think we are out of time. I think that's it.
Cool.
Thanks, Ben. That was awesome. The new record is really good. I really like it.
Thank you very much.
Some of the catchier tunes, I think.
Yeah.
Strong hooks on the new album, man.
Yeah. Cool. I'm happy to hear that, because that's what we try to achieve, the balance between catchy hooks and progressive elements. And when you say that that it has the catchy hooks, then I'm happy to hear that.
Awesome. Cool. Yeah. All right, man. This has been a pleasure. Yeah.
Thank you so
keep
much.
On rocking, man.
Yeah, thanks.
Cheers.
Have a good day.
You too, man.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.